I think we are running behind time, and therefore we should start. There's quite a lot of work before us. Let us start first by listening to apologies, if we have any.
Good morning, honorable members. There's no apology from the members. There is only one apology from the minister. She is unable to attend the meeting because she's attending a cabinet committee meeting. Thank you.
The same goes for the deputy minister. He made a call this morning to say that they are convened in an unplanned meeting at 10 a.m. And they're not sure how long is the meeting going to take. So likelihood is that he might not join us because he had a scheduled meeting at about 11. All right, with that, let's just do a round of introductions. My name is Fred Corner. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Let's start with you, madam, this side.
My name is Thabise Mpila. I'm from the South African Diamonds and Precious Metals Regulator.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, honorable members. My name is Kabatsule Levirapo. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the South African Diamond and Precious Metals Regulator. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and honorable members. My name is Cohen Reiner. I'm a non-executive director of the regulator.
Good morning. My name is Joseph Katanga from the Department of Mineral Resources.
Morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Sibusiso Mandlazi. I'm from the South African Diamond and Precious Metals Regulator.
Morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Johnson Teto. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of the South African Diamond and Precious Metals Regulator. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Futhi Zigalala. I'm from the State Diamond Trader.
Good morning. My name is Linda Makatini. I'm the Chairperson of the State Diamond Trader.
Good morning. My name is Wiswa Mangu. I'm from the Ministry DMR.
Good morning. My name is Bongseni Ngobo. I'm the researcher for the committee.
Morning. Good morning. My name is Bongile Kofana, committee assistant.
Good morning. My name is Johanna Boyson. I'm from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning.
I'm Baritsky, and I'm from the CAMS Independent Quality Assurance Regulator.
I'm Philip Dexter. I'm a Member of Parliament for COPE.
Good morning, I'm Liesl Webb, Chairperson Secretary.
Good morning, I'm Chrisanne Lewis, Secretary to WIPP.
Good morning, Hendrik Schmidt, a member of this committee.
Eric Murray, also a member of this committee.
WIPP of this committee.
Eric Lucas, member of the committee.
Sonto Rose, member of the committee. I'm not COPE.
Thank you very much.
I can't COPE without the ANC.
Thank you very much. In our agenda, we are supposed to start with State Diamond Trader. But I see here, in terms of your preparedness, you've got the regulator. it is fine. He's the one that wants to come in first. So we would want to deal with you. Yes, Honorable Dexter?
Thanks, Chair. I have to leave for a short while, but I will come back. So please, if I walk out, it's not any vote of no confidence in you or the meeting.
All right. Thank you very much.
Chair, apparently I needed interpretation. I'm not sure if he spoke English, but I didn't hear. Could you just translate for me?
Unfortunately, I did not intercede that dialogue. So I'm not privy to what he said. Yeah. Okay. State Diamond, the precious metals. The regulator.
Chair, once again, thank you very much. It is a pleasure for us today to present to you our annual report for the financial year 2009-2010. But let me first, honorable members, start by just taking you through on our presentation the outline. We concentrated on the report on the salient and critical issues. And I'm just going to go through on those things, and I'm not going to go into those things that are just normal performance operational issues. The concentration was more on the Auditor General's report. But first I'll do an introduction, and I'll address the outstanding audit matters from the 2008-2009 financial year, and then we'll take you through the annual financial statements and of the 2009-2010, and then we'll go through the challenges, and that will be the rest of our presentation. Let me first start by highlighting Chairperson. I think it is very important for me to mention that this annual report, particularly the Auditor General's report, was conducted during a very critical period when the regulator was taking over from the old South African Diamond Board. And this led to inheritance of various policies which the old board was using, which were not obliged to be compliant to the requirements of the PMA. And I'm saying this because there are irregularities in this financial report, I mean this annual report that I'm going to present to you. And I'm saying this not as an apology to those irregularities, but I'm just highlighting that this could be one of the reasons. And merely because during my reign now from 2010 to date, I have been embarking on reviewing a lot of policies and aligning them to the requirements of the PFMA. That's in short my introduction, just to highlight that. A lot has been done on those policies. They have been approved, they are instrumental. Systems and controls have been established and are correctly implemented from the 2010 to up to now. It's ongoing. Just to remind again, I'm saying this because we are here presenting the 2008-2009. Now, I'm going to start with outstanding audit matters from the 2008-2009. Sorry, let me just make a correction. I'm going to present 2009-2010. But now I'm going to start now focusing on the outstanding matters which were actually recorded on the 2008-2009 financial year. These were reported in our last engagement with the committee last year, and certain instructions were given by the committee to embark on in order to address these irregularities. Number one, there was a finding of irregular expenditure, which was failure to advertise the internal audit and consulting services. The recommendation of the AG in this regard was to request ratification as it is required by the PFMA, to request for ratification from the National Treasurer. Now, the action that was taken by the regulator, the accounting authority approved the deviation of the tender process on the 23rd of July 2010, and this was conveyed to the committee through DMR to the chairperson of the committee with relevant necessary verification documents. The reason why we are not talking about the National Treasury here, we are talking about the Accounting Authority, that was on the advice of the National Treasury, that in terms of Treasury Regulation 16A6.4, the Accounting Authority is allowed to approve the deviation from the required prescripts. This was also forwarded to the committee through the chairperson. This was done. It has been addressed. It is no more an issue, chairperson. The second one was the irregular expenditure on the opening of an account, which account was shared with the department, which the regulator is the state-owned entity of. The recommendation of the AG was that the regulator must pay the unspent portion of sponsorship amount into the relevant revenue fund and also the closure of that account. By the time when we're here, it was closed, but the committee felt that it was just closed, but it is not clear as to what happened to the funds. The action taken by the regulator, I'm reporting back again that that bank account was closed on the 18th of March, 2010, and the remaining funds were distributed as per the instruction of the Department of Minerals and Energy. That information as a proof or verification, documents have also been submitted with the report to the committee via the chairperson. This matter, we regard it as closed because it has been addressed now. The third one was a non-compliance with legislation, which actually referred to the presence of a risk assessment register, which was not performed. And I can report the AG's recommendation was that the risk register to be prepared as per the risk management plan of the regulator and be regularly reviewed and updated. I can report that such a risk register was established and it was approved by the board on the 27th of May 2010, and it is regularly updated. So this matter has been addressed. It is an ongoing matter, Chairperson. When the auditors come, they'll always check whether we are updating and checking on it on a regular basis, because it's an ongoing matter. That is about all on matters that were outstanding on the previous financial year, Chairperson. And I believe that you must have received those documents, but otherwise we have sent them through DMR. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Now I would like now to go into the actual jigs of why we are here, Chairperson. Once again, thank you very much for affording us this opportunity to come and present the status of the 2009-10 annual report, particularly emphasis on the Auditor General report, because that's actually what tells the organization's performance, whether it's aligned with legislative requirements. Thank you once again. First of all, let me start by saying, Chair, I've already indicated there are irregularities in this report from the AG's report, but what I would like to report on before I take you through is that we received an unqualified audit opinion from the Auditor General. Formal letter correspondence to that regard was forwarded to the chairperson and has been received, that we have an unqualified audit opinion. I will now start with matters which were an emphasis. These issues, these irregularities that I'm going to talk about, they are actually listed in, I think, page 45 and page 79 of the annual report. Members could have seen that, but I'm just going to take you through as to what is there and what so far we have done insofar as addressing these issues is concerned. What was reported on the first emphasis of matter was the restatement of corresponding figures. It is disclosed in Note 21 to the financial statement, and I'm just going to quickly explain so that members are on board as to what does this mean. What happened is when the Auditor General was auditing the 2009-10, they realized that some of the financial figures were not deferred. For an example, your license fees are supposed to be regarded as your revenue after the license has been issued. But what happened is they were taken as revenue before the license was issued. Once they came across this in the last financial audit, they realized that even in 2009, they could have missed it, so they went up. But this matter has been fixed and it's closed, and the financial statements were revised accordingly. They are indicated also in the annual report to show that in that year it was like this, but now in this previous one that we are reporting, it has been adjusted accordingly. So this matter has already been addressed, Chairperson. The next one, matter which was reported, was an irregular expenditure. As disclosed in note 26 on page 79 of the financial statement, in the annual report itself, an irregular expenditure to the total amount of 2674647 was incurred as proper tender process was not followed. This is a sum up of or a collective of seven cases under that page 79. The remedial action that was taken, Chairperson, let me start with that bullet one. We took disciplinary measures in the form of warning the relevant official that this matter should not recur. What is in the pipeline now is to finish the process which is required in terms of the national treasury requirements to actually request for ratification because the action has been taken. It's normally needed like that. We are on way doing this. We are waiting for a response on this matter. The next one, matter reported, was a matter of predetermined of objectives. And this meant that the regulator did not have documented and approved internal policies and procedures to address planning, implementation, monitoring, and reporting processes and events pertaining to performance management and reporting. I can report to you, Chairperson, that there is an approved document to this effect. The remedial action that has been taken is a procedure manual for managing performance information has been drafted and approved to address the planning implementation as required. I regard this matter as addressed. The Auditor General on the 2010-2011 will confirm this. Another matter which was reported was a no declaration of interest by plus about 10 members of the accounting authority did not declare their interest to the accounting authority, and this was contrary to the requirements of Section 53 of the PFMA. Action taken, Chairperson, all board and committee members have made sure that they declare their interest on the financial year 2010-2011 financial year. They are on records. The Auditor General will find this in place. Other matters reported was a non-adherence to requirements. This was because of the inadequacy of the recordings on the system. The Auditor General was unable to see which J registers, which are required in terms of Regulation 13 and 14, to be submitted on a monthly basis to the regulator. They could not see which J registers were not submitted or were late submitted. But I can report now on this one, Chairperson, that remedial action taken, records were updated, and the billing process has commenced for the 2008-09 has been completed. It's an ongoing process. 2009-10 records have been updated, and the billing process is ongoing. And it's going to be an ongoing matter on a regular basis. So this matter has been addressed. We hope that it will be adequate for the Auditor General when they do their auditing this year. Disciplinary measures have also been taken. A written warning that this matter should not recur in this coming audit has been issued. No, Chair, that one has passed. The declaration one has been addressed. It has been completed. Yes, this is for management. Yes, thank you, Chair. The fourth one was non-adherence to requirements. Still, this was contrary to the requirements of Section 11.5 of the Diamond Act, whereby two audit committee members, which were regarded to be specialists in their profession, were remunerated more than what the minister had approved. The board had approved that they could be remunerated because of the scarcity of their skill, but I think approval from the minister by the time when the audit was done was not yet obtained. I can report now that we eventually got the necessary approval ratifying that they could be paid at those rates because of the scarcity of their skill. So it has been addressed. We've got a formal approval letter from the minister. Chairperson, I'm now going to ask my CFO to take you quickly through the revenue, financial statements. But we're also not going to go into deep. We just want to show you the challenges that we are facing insofar as when you budget what you get allocated to vis-a-vis the challenges that we have to address insofar as the government objectives and key priorities are concerned, particularly the challenge that we are having now that we have to create jobs and then you don't necessarily get the necessary instruments that allows you to do the necessary checks like your inspections to see compliance, which is required by law to actually do those things by the industry. Thank you. I'll hand over to the CFO, but I will still be on for further when the questions are being.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Members, to you, Mr. Chairman, what we would just like to highlight on our financial performance for the year under review is that we have experienced a decrease in our revenue. If you look at on page 97 of the annual report, you can see the comparison there between the current year being reviewed and the previous year, where we are saying that our revenue declined by about 25% because of various factors which have been outlined on the document. If we move to the next slide, what has led to the decrease in our revenue is because of the capping of the grant we received from the DMR, which has been kept at about 40 million rand per annum for the last 2 years. The budget, as you can see, has been prepared and submitted and approved accordingly, but when it comes to the funding, it was not up to the budget figures. If we move to the next slide again, and there you can see that the trend on utilization of funds has been on the increase. The compensation of employees has been going up, goods and services also has been going up, and some monies have been used for CapEx. And that has resulted in our surpluses to decline accordingly, from 19 million the 2007-2008 to only 5 million during the year under review. Thank you. Sorry, next slide. Now, I was just saying that among the challenges that we are faced with from that list are that we are having this problem of our grant not being increased about 40 million rand, although the operational costs are always increasing every year. Thank you.
Those are the challenges that we're highlighting. The first one is what he has just alluded to. But during that financial year, there was this challenge of limited viewing rooms, which I think contributes to insufficient supply of RAF. Because if you don't have enough viewing rooms, you have a problem of managing the number of RAF that is brought to you. As I promised last year that we are going to address this thing by increasing the capacity, I can report in that financial year just like that, but we have a plan now. That plan is underway. There's construction going on. before the end of this year, we will have a complete structure that we can actually try to implement and try to address this issue of not enough supply of RAF from producers. While we are going to do that, we have already started marketing by inviting other African diamond producing countries and some of the companies also that are operating elsewhere. They say if our facilities is competitive to other trade centers, they will prefer to use the African one. We think, Chairperson, given a robust input into this, we think we will achieve to an extent. Limited capacity, as you have said, you have seen in the previous slides that he was indicating that posts have been filled. The officials have been increased, so that has been addressed as well. So some of the things have been overtaken by events. Court cases challenging the amendment of the Diamond Act, the department is busy with amendments. We think this will also be addressed once adequately those amendments have been eventually passed through Parliament. The funding is already addressed. Access to funding for emerging business is still a problem for us to actually promote them. We will see what, together with the state diamond trader, but funding is another issue. I mean, state diamond trader is not funded itself, so it's an issue for us. We don't do funding. Access to rough diamonds I have addressed. Access to markets for polished diamonds. This, we are also having a plan. There is a problem. The current business people who are already in this, they have their own market. The new incomers have got a problem to get the market. We have a plan with the new systems that we are going to introduce to try and help, particularly the previously disadvantaged, to market through internet the polished diamonds. We have a plan. We are working on it. As soon as we implement that infrastructure capacity development that I alluded to, we will also address this. Chair, the inadequate funding that we are getting or allocation, I think it's because when the board was still a private entity, they used to generate revenue to defer the cost that they actually incur. For an example, in their trade center. Globally, all the trade centers, they charge the people who bring their diamonds there to be tendered. Since our government has taken over, it is done free. But it is done free at a very high cost, Chairperson, because you have to insure all those diamonds because the law requires that they must be with you for a number of days, minimum number of days. In the past, and even in the country, all trade houses, they do charge. So maybe the reason why we are getting inadequate funding is because that levy that the old board used to charge was taken away when the government took over. And for me, it's a challenge. And we had discussions with National Treasury, and they asked the question, but what provision was made to keep up for that? And nothing was made. It was just closed like that, Chairperson. And I can say that we are re-looking into introducing that because otherwise we will not be competitive globally. I think that's about a lot about our presentation. And I would like to say thank you for affording this opportunity.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Honorable members, there you've got the presentation. And you got your annual report. Let's interact with the presentation and the report itself. I note Honorable Schmidt, Honorable Lucas, Honorable Sonto in that line. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. You indicate in your document that the non-adherence to the irregular expenditure due to non-compliance with your own, detail of regular expenditure current year regarding on page 79 of your report. The figure of 2.674 million rand is quoted there. In your document, you say that no, that the spending steps were taken and that the individual was given a written warning. On page 79, I'm not sure whether you did refer to page 79 in your presentation, but I could not quite follow. But it indicates there that no disciplinary steps were taken. That's the first issue. So, you know, it appears to be a limited action in terms of non-compliance with the PFMA is the impression one gets. You know, even if you accept the 2.674 non-adherence to PFMA, it's kind of a lenient sentence. But, you know, your comment on that. Then secondly, if you look to page 65 of your report, your trade and other receivables from exchange rate transactions last year was, well, 2010 at least, was 1.767, and 2009 was 671. That's indicated in page 65. But your cash and cash equivalent from 2010 was 23 million, whilst in 2009 it was 63 million. So it more than halved, and the question is why? What happened? The one that went up, that basically seems to be two tendencies. The one goes up and the other one goes down, and the question is why? And then lastly, our very favorite topic, and that is beneficiation. What is it that that your institution has done to, and I'm talking about output, terms of beneficiation. What have you done to ensure beneficiation, and what is the measurable output that you've achieved? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lucas.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Well, one must acknowledge there's something that has been done from the last time we were together. However, one is also concerned that the grant is still capped at 40 million. And I think for an organization this size and with such valuable assets, I think we could do better. I really think we could do better. And what is also concerning is that the access to markets, I think if we, why, what can we do? I think we should try and find some way of doing this, because if you don't get returns, you might as well close shop. Because you're just acting as a passage, just passing through you, and there is no interest. And I'm also concerned about the people that have been found to be doing wrong. I don't think the action taken is sufficient. I think we should be to prove that we are more serious. And then you said you're still filling posts. I'm not sure how you're going to fill post with the limited amount of money you have. I think you should weigh this out. So until you get out of the red, and then we can start talking about that. Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sondo.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Could I start on a lighter note? That, Chairperson, I support the toy-toy that is happening down there. And I'm sure it's to the benefit of the committee. Okay, Chairperson. I mean, the protesters know. I just want to commend... I just want to commend the regulator. In fact, the regulator's approach. You know, Chairperson, what has been a trend on all entities that we interact with? You call them today. You raise issues. You lift up issues on their presentations. They come back the next time. You talk about the same issues. What I want to applaud them on is that the salvo of questions that we thought we had, we started with all those answers. which is very, very much commendable. Be that as it may, Chairperson, there are just areas of clarity that I would want to be assisted on. On the remedial actions that they have taken, I think one instruction was that they should pay the unspent portion of a sum of money. I can't remember that slide now. Into a relevant revenue fund. I just wanted to check the practice on that. How did you do that? I couldn't get it quite clearly. Just an explanation on that. The second one would be the ongoing process of charging for late submission. I don't know. I get a sense in that, I stand corrected, I get a sense that if there should be an ongoing process of charging for late submission, it seems as if we are saying we are going to be submitting late with an intention of charging for late submission. Wouldn't it be tightened up so that there should be no late submissions? I think I just wanted to be clarified on those two. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Would you care to respond to those?
Thank you, Chair. Let me first start with Advocate Smith's questions. On page 79, it is indicated that nothing was taken in so far as disciplinary measures is concerned. What I'm indicating here is after we have had the opinion, we immediately took necessary measures. By then, nothing was done because they had to come out with this, the audit. And once they've revealed it, then we took steps. I hope it's sufficient enough. On the cash and cash, on page 65, I'll let my financial colleagues answer that one. But let me get to the beneficiation one. What have we done, and what is the output? I think there is currently a challenge. Although beneficiation is a requirement of the law, the country wants to see beneficiation. And I don't know whether you are talking both diamonds and precious metals, but if your emphasis is on precious metals, I mean on diamonds, you know that the economic downturn touched diamond industry more. We are still recuperating. We hope this will improve. But what is critical now is the beneficiation strategy that is still being consulted, I believe, that is still not approved, and that will inform us to be more robust in implementing the law as to say this is what is required. So that is, we're still waiting for that. It will inform our action. I think that's about all. And from Honorable Lucas, I think more was a comment, but I think we've noted the more drastic steps that must be taken to officials. And I think just to report, and I'll just report on behalf of my board member here, on these issues, the chairperson has already indicated. That is why I was saying we are still awaiting that approval. He's adamant. He says we must take a more drastic step than what we have taken. So we are still looking at this as to what is it that must be done. To Honorable Sondo, thank you for the comment. And thank you also for commenting us. On the clarity, repayment of outstanding debts. I think on the, remember that we're doing this with together with DMR. So we approached DMR. There were other outstanding debts that DMR wanted us to settle with that money. And that's what we did. And I think the letter speaks it for itself, which letter has actually been forwarded to the committee to say how the instructions from DMR, how we must disperse that money. I will not go into detail, Honorable Member, but the letter is there as a proof. The late submission of the J registers, it is a requirement of the law that if clients submit them, say for an example, they're supposed to submit them not later than the 7th day of the following month. If they submit them late, we have to charge them a penalty for that. And that penalty is actually meant to make them make sure that they do it on time. So there's very little, it's a legislative requirement. We just have to implement it as it is. Yes, thank you. Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, to answer to Mrs. Smith's questions on the, first of all, debtors on page 55, why it went up so drastically, that was basically because of the estimate made by the auditors. When we could not come up with a concrete figure regarding what was the value of the registers that were not submitted on time or that were not submitted at all, they came up with a figure of 725,000 rand, which they said should form part of our debtors' balances. So it increased our debtors accordingly, but there was also some increase also on our interest due to us from the banks, which had not been paid at the end of the financial year, from 217 previous year to 287,000 rand. And then also our prepaid expenses went up from 63 to 368,000 rand. So that made up the huge jump. On the cash and cash equivalents, that went down from 63 million the previous year to 23 million during the under review. I can refer you to page 51 of the annual report. You'll see that the cash flow statement indicates that right under note 8, below the note 8 there, you'll see that there was a purchase of financial assets of 45 million rand. This is now a new term that is used by the auditors and financial fundies, who are saying if you invest your money in the bank, you are buying some instruments, some financial instruments. So now that's why now they are using the term. They are taking out of the cash because that cash is not lying in an account that is not generating interest. So it is invested in specific instruments. Now that's why they transferred money out of the cash into that fund.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Khululu.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me first apologize by arriving late. I think you got my apology from the Secretary. And also thank the department, the regulator, for the presentation. It was clear. I've got two questions for clarity, Chairperson. The first one will be on the regulator, if they could maybe quantify for us on the number of vacancies that they have as a regulator. I think it would be important for us to know about that. The second question for clarity, Chair, is on the, if maybe the regulator could share with us about the Chinese agreement that they have on the training. I think they've got an agreement that they have with the Chinese. If maybe they could just clarify that one, I think would be interested in knowing what is that all about. Thank you very much.
Would you care to respond to those?
Thank you, Chair. I think the second question, I don't think I'm the relevant person. We don't have any agreement with Chinese. It could be perhaps the department to clear this, or either the state demonstrator. We don't have any agreement.
Sorry, that question actually is not to you, to the other entity. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Honorable Member. The first one, to quantify vacancies, as I have said, you know, some of the challenges of capacity have been addressed in looking to make us more, you know, competitive and more compatible. When I resumed my duties in February last year, I think we're standing at 79, I'm speaking under correction, 70-something. We feel post, we are at plus minus 97 now, but there's an anticipation to be more competent and more compatible in our service delivery. We are looking at increasing to 116 in the new infrastructure development that I said. We are looking into, and as the honourable member, Lucas has said, he doesn't know how we are going to. We're fiddling now, we're wrestling with National Treasury through the department with the very huge deficit that we are experiencing actually now, to request them to use some of the reinvestment that we've been retaining, asking to retain, to use for capital projects, to use for operational projects, because we will not be able, like he's saying, he's correct. So if we achieve that, we will manage. And we also, if we achieve to reintroduce levies that were charged previously, I think we will survive and will be competitive globally. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think let's come back to your report. The first issue that we must note and ask you to take with you, we never see your chairperson. I think this is the second, if not the third, annual report that we're dealing with. And your chairperson is represented by proxy. That doesn't augur well with what we expect as Parliament. We understand that people are busy, but of course you are accounting to us. And therefore we need to see that, you know, happening where your chairperson lead your delegation. I think it's something that you need to note. Secondly, when we look at your annual report in terms of your governance structure and the performance in terms of the holding of meetings, if you go to page 8, we see that there's fairly good report in terms of the meetings convened and the attendance, bar one person in terms of the directors, board of directors, Mr. Mabuza. What happened there? It just says no, right through in all meetings that were scheduled. The same goes with yourself, Mr. CEO, when it comes to board committees, the executive committee. Was it because you were not yet appointed by then, or what is the explanation there? The other matter deals directly with compliance, you know, your legal compliance, which talks to your main objective. We are expecting you as regulator to play quite a serious and vigorous role, you know, in the industry, in promoting, in particular, the previously disadvantaged groupings to enter the space. Now, when you look at page number 11, the number of actual licenses that were received, there are 853 applications on New Diamond applications, and then 673 licenses were issued. Now, we're not sure whether this is taking into account only the year under review, or is it the whole period since, you know, your existence? Because I think this talks also to the pace in terms of your participation in as far as beneficiation is concerned. Overall, indeed, not only concentrated on diamonds, but also on precious metals. But we would want you to take us through there. Related to that, if you go to page 13, you would see that the number of licenses in 2009 and 10 have actually been decreasing, especially under diamond beneficiation. You had a draft there which shows 33, 30, and later 3. Is it because of the lack of appetite in terms of people that would want to enter this space, or is it because of some challenges? The same goes for the research work in terms of the diamond industry. We seem to be faring quite, you know, badly in terms of what is shown in that graph. Below there, again, the challenge on precious metals beneficiation. And indeed, I think we just want to have an understanding in terms of these figures talking to your main objectives as the regulator. Now, that brings me to page number 15, where you did receive, for example, on the facilitation in terms of your stated objective to facilitate the buying and selling of unpolished diamonds. You know, the actual tenders received were something like 2.8 million, and that the carats of diamonds that qualified for exports were a whooping 1.7 million, which means we've got quite serious numbers in terms of exports that you are reporting on here, as opposed to local beneficiation of these minerals. I think these pages relate to one question in terms of the role that you are playing. Now, going further, we're looking at these pages are running deeper sometimes. There's an area that I marked, which is an area of concern that we needed to get clarification from you on. Oh, yes. The issues that you are raising. I think, one, I want to join those that are commending you in terms of the response to the outstanding issues and the finalization of those matters. And to deal with the issues at hand in terms of your slides. Firstly, we congratulate you on unqualified audit opinion. It indicates that indeed there's a lot of work that has gone into the handling of your affairs, you know, as the regulator. And indeed the Auditor General does confirm that matter. Now, on page 11 of your slide, where you were responding to matters of emphasis by the Auditor General, the issue relating to irregular expenditure. Now, I did not really understand the last bullet point on remedial actions. Necessary processes for ratification for violation have been submitted. How long has this been submitted to the accounting authority? You said that they have not yet responded to you because they believe that the remedial action that you have taken is insufficient. But the question is, how long ago have they received this, and are they not unnecessarily taking long time? Because they should say they reject the actions that you have taken, and therefore you must go back and do what you are supposed to do, or accept. I think one wants to know the time period that lagged between your submission and now, where we are standing at a time where there's no response as yet. Understanding, of course, your explanation in terms of the feeling of the accounting authority. The other matter on page 14 of your slides, in terms of the J registers. In your remedial action, you're saying that the records were updated. Now, can you give us a sense of potentially how much did we lose as a result of this omission and deficiency in terms of the updating of the J register? And so that we can then see whether also is that recoverable in your own views. That also goes to the following page, the non-adherence to the requirements. you are not quantifying about how much were these two committee members were over compensated, and whether also you have recovered the amount, therefore, because you are now only saying that indeed you have then made sure that there is compliance in terms of the required amounts that must be paid out, but you are not telling us, you know, in terms of by how much have you overcompensated, and whether are you in the process of recovering, or maybe your procedures do not allow you, you know, that kind of a process. Now, there's something that keeps on coming also through your report, and when I look at your balance sheet, which I must say is quite healthy, and the issue of the impairment of investment, it's not entirely explained in terms of what exactly are we looking at. And this brings me talking about your healthy balance sheet, because I mean in relation to your assets and liabilities, but you keep on complaining that DMR has kept its allocation to you at 40 million rand a year, and yet you're showing unspent funds, you're showing surplus even within that 40 million rand. Could that mean that service delivery was impacted negatively as a result of this, you know, kept, you know, allocation to you, hence you were under pressure to save? Because for this financial year, you have got something like 5.4 million rand that is unspent, which represents a surplus. And when you go to National Treasury with your records showing surplus, surely, if I was sitting in the shoes of Treasury, I would ask you, what do you want money for? Because you are unable to spend monies allocated to you over a given period of time. So what are the motivations and basis for you to want more? You know, unless you are doing something that then is tailor-made to suit the 40 million and less that you are receiving, in which case, therefore, it would definitely impact negatively on the work that you are supposed to do. And I think also the other matter is in your financials, you are showing some investment. You know, Treasury, they quite elaborate in terms of fine-combing, you know, your statements. And indeed, if you've got some reserves sitting somewhere, they would not be enthused to also give you an additional allocation. The same would go for the CFO of DMR, because immediately what appears before them is that here this institution is financially healthy, and to an extent that they do have some reserves, which you termed here as an investment. As a result, you are drawing interest out of that investment. I think we need to unpack this so that we can see whether really under your challenges you do have a challenge of allocation, because we don't see a situation where you are showing a deficit in terms of your expenditure. So if it was a private entity and somebody is looking to invest, looking at your balance sheet in page 48, one would immediately, you know, be enticed to invest, because this is a viable, you know, going concern in as far as your financial records are indicating. But I think also broadly, you know, let's come back to the challenges that you are posing on page 20. Limited capacity. Somewhere in this document, in your annual report, we have seen that you have conducted some inspections, and those inspections were quite limited. And yet you say that you believe that you have addressed the challenge of the shortage of capacity. Because indeed, as a regulator, it is expected that you will be out there, you know, checking compliance with conditions that you issue when you grant licenses, both in diamonds industry as well as in precious metals industry. Now, if you say to us that you have dealt with the challenges of capacity and yet in your annual report, I'm just looking for the relevant page, you are showing, you know, the inspection visits that you have undertaken, which are far less than what you would, however, be expected to. I think that's one area, in as far as your challenges are concerned. The question of funding we have already dealt with. Now the worrying factor is the bullet point that deals with access to funding for emerging businesses, which you mention as still being a challenge. Whose responsibility is it to stand surety for these emerging, you know, entities in the industry? Would it be yours? Would it be the IDC? Would it be some other state institution that must, you know, assist these emerging, you know, operators to enter the industry, either in diamonds or in precious metals? Because here, if we always refer to it, this as being a challenge, you know, and meanwhile, on the other hand, we know that there's a plethora of institutions created by government, your Kula Enterprises, your IDCs and others. Are you not able to also assist your clients for them to be able to leverage, you know, such possibilities that do exist? Or is it expected that you or they are expected to fend for themselves, knowing very well that mining is not an easy business? It's quite a challenging and a risky business, and for small players, it's not you know, something that they can get on and be able to function optimally within a given space of time. Can you clarify us on those matters? Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your comment. I will revisit now and then when we go through the points, just to get clarity again. Your comment fills a page. So bear with me when I come back, and my colleagues will also assist me in responding. I want to start with the very last one, Chairperson, about who's actually responsible for standing surety for the emerging. And I'm not sure whether it's right to say emerging miners. I think I must just explain that we must understand our core business, it's not mining. It's more on beneficiation. DMR is responsible for mining. And previously, DMR used to have, under their small-scale promotion, they used to have something of that sort to assist incoming miners into the industry. Recently, we had an engagement with them. They're still having that thing. I don't know how much are they going to continue with, to can also assist from our side those who want to get into the cut and polishing after the necessary skills has been obtained. We have to explore this more with them. As the minister has said, Chairperson, these are some of the things that we will discuss with him as to how to go forward. I won't be able to divulge on this one. The other last one, about the capacity, which I'm now saying that I've addressed. I just want to, again, draw your attention that that capacity was indicated as then, when that review was done, 2009. And what I was saying, from 2010, I've addressed some of those things, that they will not come back in the future reports to say that capacity. But as then, 2009, as the report was done, that capacity was a problem. So that's, I just want to understand, when I said I've addressed it, I mean from now, since I have come in, we have filled most of the posts that were vacant and created some. Thank you. That is done. So some of the financial questions I'm going to ask my colleagues to help me, but let me just go through to those ones that that I can actually try and handle. Thank you very much. We will take this home to our chairperson. And I think the board member here who's been requested to come will take the message better than me, because he has to report because he's been asked to stand for the chair. We will take the matter home as requested. Insofar as DMR's attendance, Mr. Mabuza, there is somebody from DMR who normally attends with Mr. Mabuza. The arrangement was meant to be on a rotational basis if Mr. Mabuza was, but it indicates to him as a main member to attend. I cannot answer for that. Compliance from DMR is here. They will also take the message back that the committee is not happy about this, as it reflects on us. And then compliance, non-compliance of the regulator. The number of licenses indicated there as on the page that the chairperson has highlighted. I must also indicate, and you did mention, whether it was the year under review. Yes, it was just for that year under review. There's a lot. You'll see, when you look at that graph, although I must acknowledge, I think there was an oversight when putting those graphs. There could have been a mistake when, you know, adjusting the graphs. But I must also acknowledge that the reality is that those numbers also indicate those applications which were in process. Now, it's not a reflection as to up to now. Up to now, it would be a very different reflection because, as I have said, we were going through a transitional period where people were actually converting their rights into the new order. A lot has been achieved. And if we give you figures up to date, there will be a big difference because most of them has been addressed, those backlogs. Not totally all, but they have been addressed. The number will be very minimal when we give you the updated records now. The decreased number of licenses, particularly the beneficiation. On the beneficiation, as I've said, Chair, if you remember very well, the economic crunch, actually from 2008, it's when it was felt into 2009. And a lot of sites, cut and polishers, closed because of that. The supply of RAF was very minimal because mines closed, mines retrenched people and so on. So production went down. So that was one of the reasons why the beneficiation of diamonds went down. There was a lot of closure of. This is an area which we must actually revisit, not only ourselves, as the minister also has indicated, we have to go in, particularly that it's a key issue in the State of the Nation address. Together with the State Diamond Trader, we'll have to look into how we can actually better the situation. Not only as we cannot do it because we are not producers, together with the industry itself, and see how we can create conducive situations that can allow this to happen. Thanks for commending us, Chairperson, for the responses. We promise you that we'll keep up to that standard. We will not break that. And thanks for also commending us for the unqualified opinion. The J registers, how much did we lose? What we did, because we acted irregularly, what we did after we got the minister's approval, we did an adjustment from what was supposed to be paid, what was paid, and the difference, we deducted it. That's how we adjusted what was supposed to be refunded. We just did an adjustment. On the next meeting, we deducted what was an overpayment. So that has been adjusted as well. Yeah. And records in the next audit will reflect that, Chairperson. Let me on the overpayment, I've done that. Impairment of investment surplus. Can I please ask? I don't know where you want to come in. Can you please come on this one, please?
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. If I might just add to the CEO's response in two particular areas. The one is in relation to the granting of the condemnation, the request for the condemnation under Treasury Regulation 16A.64, with respect to that irregular expenditure of the 2.6 million. I think that's best dealt with, Mr. Chairman, by way of example. If you go to page 79 of the annual report, you'll find that the 2.6 million that's been highlighted as irregular expenditure, the bulk of that 2.1 million is in relation to the appointment of an external technical advisor. And due to the nature of the skills required and the fact that this is and was an ongoing relationship and contract already, so it was essentially a renewal of an existing contract. So the application of the following the due process would not necessarily have changed the outcome with respect to appointing this particular advisor. However, the chairman and the board itself has expressed great dissatisfaction that the fact that the due process was still not followed in that. In other words, even though the answer would have been the same, it's not satisfactory that you wouldn't follow due process. And that's the reason why at the time as well you would have found that no disciplinary action was reported, but now subsequently we are getting very strong as a board on these kinds of matters. Subsequently, the condemnation in terms of the Treasury regulation for that particular matter was granted in that. But all I guess I'm saying is that the board now is viewing these matters in a much, much more serious light, and every line item is being scrutinized. On the issue, if I could just add, on the issue of the capping, I think it might be useful to understand some of the context, the capping of the funding to the regulator. I think if we understand that there's a dynamic tension between the regulator being competitive through reducing the costs of doing business in precious metals and in diamonds by reducing things like levies, fees, those kinds of things, which particularly for the emerging players we'd like to encourage, reducing those fees and reducing that hurdle and that burden to those players. There's a tension between that, and I think that's been the drive, and hence some of the levies and the fees disappearing. But that does place in question, you know, how does the regulator then sustain itself if you reduce those fees? So that's the concern that the CEO is raising, that whilst we're trying to become competitive, reducing the hurdles, the sustainability of the regulator gets called into question. This is obviously, it's helped that historically that the Diamond Board was able to charge these fees. So you'd see in the historical accounts quite large sums of income coming from the charging of these fees. And as a result, a surplus has been built up over time, which the regulator has used quite effectively to be able to reduce these fees over time. But going forward, this is clearly an unsustainable situation because the tap is now closed on that income, and we are now consuming that income as we go forward. So the CEO is really raising an issue looking forward, you know, over the next 3 to 5 years with respect to the capping of the regulator's grants. And this matter is continuously being discussed and engaged with through the DMR. Thank you.
Sorry, I forgot something. You, on page 8 of our annual report, you raise a concern about attendance of meetings, and my name appears there. I think the reason why my name appears there, the report was trying to reflect the board of directors, and under my name, because I was not yet with the organization, they were supposed to put not applicable, not just no, as if I was there. I was not there. But I currently fall under the board of directors of the organization, just to clear that, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Just to assist, the CEO has requested that I must clarify on some of the matters relating to finances. The first one that I would like to explain on is from your question about the extra fee that was paid to two audit committee members after the approval of the board. There is no money that was supposed to recover from them, because what happened is that the fee that is prescribed by the minister was 3,358 rand per day, and then it was felt that the Institute of Chartered Accountants prescribes a fee of 1,967 per hour. So it was only on that adjustment that they had to be paid in terms of the fee structure that is prescribed by their profession. It was approved by the board and also later approved by the minister. The difference at the end of the day, depending on how many hours the meeting takes, it sometimes evens out, or if the meeting takes longer, then we'll pay them a little bit more than what is prescribed by the minister, but it's not a big difference. And then on the issue of the impairment that you also raised, payment of assets, what happened is that we invested an amount of about 10 million rand into the Diamond Origin project, which is being experimented by our sister company, Mintec, to try and find and look at the characteristics of the diamonds from South Africa and from outside South Africa. So that, in terms of the Kimberley Process Certification Scheme, we felt is the way to go. It was supported by DMR and other interested parties. It was supposed to start yielding results after 3 to 4 years, but when the auditors came, they found that this investment had not started bringing in any royalties. We were expecting some royalties to flow from that investment. But when no royalties were flowing in at a rate of 25% of whatever Mintec could make, that would come back to the regulator. It was felt that that investment should be impaired because it was not like bringing any revenue as expected.
Can you be specific? Does it mean you write it off, or does it mean you recall it?
Oh, it will mean that it's written off for now, pending the results in the future. Once the royalties, in terms of the agreement between the regulator and Mintec, once there is a flow of cash, this investment can be resuscitated. Thank you.
Just final question. In the board, we see that there's resignation of a representative from National Treasury and the person from the South African Police Services. Quite key role players in the work that you are doing, given the history, especially in the diamond industry. Has that been rectified? Have you refilled in those positions? Or did they lose interest as entities, like as department, National Treasury lost interest altogether? What happened? I note you, Mamangal. I note you.
Thank you, Chair. Just to respond on that one, I think this is one aspect that has been actually frustrating us. We have written numerous letters to the minister to actually ask those departments to do that, and the minister did do that. There's proof to that effect. There has been a engagement in the form of correspondences, but nothing has been forthcoming from those departments. I cannot say whether they have lost appetite. I don't think they have a choice. It's a requirement that is required. That is why it's an audit finding, that there has to be representation of those departments in this organization. And I think it's the same with the state diamond trader also, to get representation from those departments. So it is still a frustration from those departments that they are not actually coming forth to nominate names that the minister can appoint.
I'm raising this because in your interactions with us, you sometimes make reference to National Treasury. You talk about the allocations and all of that. Meanwhile, firstly, if that is provided by law that they have to be there, it would have been important that they are there so that they are able, even out of their own accord, to report back to the department about challenges that are facing the what you call. Have you raised this with the Deputy Minister so that he can pursue this matter, taking all over from what the Minister has done so far?
What we actually did recently, myself and the Chairperson, I think it was last month, we went to see the Director General to see if we can actually engage at that level of Director to Director and Director to Commissioner. Maybe we can achieve something. And it's a couple of weeks ago that we saw the Director General, and he promised us he will attend to this matter. So we are still awaiting that to see if we can make an intervention. But further on, Chair, just to come back to the investment that you alluded to, and we are saying there's insufficient allocation. The reinvestment that was approved, it was approved for specific capital projects. And what we are crying out is the operationals, as the demand wants us to be operationally active. Thank you.
Honorable Mangere.
Oh, thank you, Chair. Thank you. Chair, I'm not quite satisfied about the reply from page 15 about the two committee members. It is here reported, but they just say it is nothing. It's not a lot of money. And yet, maybe it depends on how many days these people worked. You see, it can't just be reported if it is 3,000 or 5,000. I'm really not quite satisfied about that.
Would you like to further react on that?
I can respond to that. I think the emphasis that the auditor wants to make here, it's non-adherence to legislative requirements. That is why this opinion or this finding. It is not about how much it is. It is about that we did something that was not approved, which the board had approved, but the minister, there's a approval fees that the minister approves to say these are the fees that must be paid to the board and the committee members. But because of the scarcity of those people's skills, there was a recommendation, special recommendation, that they be slightly upped in terms of what is applicable for them outside. So it is not a lot of money, but the finding is on non-adherence to the requirements of the law.
I see you nodding. At least there's some comfort. Thank you very much. Honorable members, I think we have engaged with this report. The overall situation of the report is that there's a marked improvement, given the fact that they were given clean, audit report. And I think what also comforts me is that there's a program to work on the other matters that are raised by the Auditor General. For instance, matters of emphasis. All we would require is to be regularly updated on the progress made once you have completed all the outstanding work, and then you can indicate through my office that these matters now have received full attention, and you believe that, like the ones of 2008 and 9, they are now closed. With that, I would call on us adopting this report. Any movers? Honorable Khululu. Seconder? Honorable Lucas? Any objection? There's none. Thank you very much. You must be breathing a sigh of relief. Okay, your annual report has been approved. All right. Thank you very much. Can you...
Mr. Chair, can I just ask something?
Yes.
Something which occurs to me now. SCOPA, of course, also has an interaction somewhere along the line. Are you informed duly in advance, and will you be appearing before SCOPA regarding 2009-2010 review?
I'm not sure whether I understood the question.
Yeah, okay.
Normally, I'm not sure, I've never served in SCOPA, so that's why I'm asking. The SCOPA normally interacts with entities and departments, especially in instances where the annual reports indicate and the Auditor General reports indicate that there's not proper financial checks and balances being executed. Have you been indicated by SCOPA to appear before them in due time?
No. The answer is no, Chair.
Indeed, if they are called upon, like the department was last year, SCOPA will also correspond with us. And in many instances, we then go for a joint arrangement. But in some instances, they go it alone. You are quite right. But courtesy of the portfolio committee, they would then write to us to say that we are calling. And also they would want to know what was our take, like we are now discussing and recording these interactions. Then we could then just give them a copy of minutes or report on what we have dealt with. So we would know when they are being summoned by SCOPA. Thank you very much. What time is it here? All right. Let's get State Diamond Trader on the driving seat. Thank you very much, regulator. Say Koniti. Okay. Whilst State Diamond Trader would be setting themselves up, shall we take a 5-10 minute tea break? Because of what told tea is ready outside. Thank you very much.
I don't know.